Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up, and we certainly hope that you're having a great day, and if not, maybe the Lord might just be blessing you as you continue to listen to Christian radio. I'm sure he's got a personal word for you if you're just listening. And so one of those things that we always pray for regularly is that God would speak prophetically through us. As we come into the studio live and we're just kind of interacting and looking at various concepts in the scriptures, and you never know when somebody is listening and just what we had to say is exactly what they needed to hear. That's what we count on. That's the way the Lord works. Have you ever noticed that when sometimes you go to church and you just kind of, you just really need to hear from the Lord, and the preacher just happens to hit something. Maybe he gets off of his notes and he happens to hit a topic or talk about a verse that just you needed to hear. And I really feel like that's one of the ways the Lord confirms you're in the right place. You're in the right church, or you're listening to the right station. The Lord can speak through these things. And so listen, I also want to remind you that we are a live call-in show. We'd love to hear from you if you have questions, comments, or insights. As we continue through this series on life-changing truths, looking specifically at some marriage issues, join us. And Linda's going to tell you of the various ways you can join us.
Hello, everybody. There it goes. Turning. Oh, let's look at Leanne in the booth there. Hi, guys. We would love for you to give us a call. You know, when you call, we can talk through things with you and make sure we're really answering what questions you have. So please don't be shy. If you want to do it anonymous, that's okay too. You don't have to give us a name. We can come up with one for you, okay? So I just realized I forgot to set my phone to it. So, okay, to call us live in the studio, 208-377-3790. If you just can't handle talking on the radio, send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead, leave a comment. We keep an eye on those too. Let's get started. We got a new scripture, don't we?
Yeah, we're ready to cover a new verse today, and we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 4. This is a verse, as we put together a list, this is a verse that Linda picked. And I could see why, because it's that text, and there's several in the scriptures that talk about love covers a multitude of sins. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. But let me read to you 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We'll talk about it a little bit. I'm curious why Linda picked this one. I think that's one of the reasons. And it says this, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins." Now, I remind you that we've told you before that many of these verses are not marriage verses, but they certainly can be applied to marriage. And this is another one of those that there's important things in there. And I'm going to ask Linda in a second why she picked this verse. But let me just tell you some of the things that jump off the page to me. It's funny because when it says the end of all things is at hand, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. It reminds me of something I tell our church all the time. When we talk about the end of time, or we talk about how close is the Lord's coming, and I always say that I really believe that I'm going to see the revelation of the Lord in my lifetime or 1 second afterward. The point behind the way I do that is because life is short. And we're all going to be seeing the Lord soon. And whether it's the rapture or whether it's just we're going to be, our heart's going to stop beating and we're going to see him tonight or tomorrow. You never know. I mean, life is short and we're all going to stand before the Lord someday and we're all going to face judgment. We're all going to give account for our lives. I like the way Paul put it in Romans 14:10. He says, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that's the time he goes on to say, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's the thing. You really would do much better if you live your life with the perspective that very soon you will stand before him yourself. Life's too short for you to go around complaining, pointing fingers, making accusations. You should be looking at your own life and saying, Lord, how then should I live? Knowing that, you know, life is short and I'll be meeting up with you soon. How do you want me to live? And so, you know, that's what stands out to me when it says the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now, Linda, I'm sure you've got something to say about this as well.
Yeah, I do. This one really hit me for a marriage scripture, because we do need to be reminded we have no guarantees of tomorrow. Mm. We have absolutely no guarantees of tomorrow. Don't have any regrets, okay? That is one of the biggest things I can tell you in marriage. Don't have regrets. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You have to make the most of each day. And of course, I know that's another scripture. But another reason is I picked the scripture is be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray for our marriages. If we pray for our marriage and seriously, be very serious in your prayers, be very serious about your marriage, it's going to change your attitude. The things you pray about are the things you care about. And the more time you put into them, into praying for them, it shows more of your heart. And as you pray and the Lord gives you his heart for marriage, you can take on that heart of the Lord just through prayer, just by communicating with the Lord about it. Fervent love one for another. We have to love. We have to love deeply each other. That is a real secret to having a successful marriage, is love. And love isn't the ooey gooey feelings. That's either lust or infatuation, okay? Love is that commitment. And when you make that commitment, you'd be surprised how much those ooey gooey feelings hang around. But you can't base it on feelings. You have to base it on you have made a commitment to this person before God and witnesses that you're going to love them. And the more you work on loving them rather than why don't you love me the way I want to be loved, you just love them. You pour yourself out to them. It makes all the difference in the world. It really does. The more you love that person, the more you're going to pray for that person too. And in that, the Lord changes your heart. And this, of course, love will cover a multitude of sins. Be quick to forgive. Mm-hmm. Be quick to forgive. You cannot keep a list of, oh, you did this and you've written it down and you got the date and the time. Throw those lists away if you're a person that makes those. Throw them away. They're not worth anything. They will create bitterness and help you hold on to a grudge. Be willing to forgive. If you love, love will cover those sins. That, yeah, you've been wronged. We've all been wronged. Is it fair? No, it's usually not fair. But forgive. Forgive as Christ forgave you. That scripture should go along with this. Yeah, you know, right. You're forgiven by the same standards that you forgive others. I want to be a person that forgives quite readily because I have plenty that needs to be forgiven of. So that's the reason I picked this. There's a lot to it in there. Yeah. And there's a lot of very important factors, especially if you break it apart with no guarantee of tomorrow. Pray, seriously pray for your marriage and for each other. Love fervently, deeply, not just, oh, okay, I make a slight commitment. No, you've made a lifetime commitment. And forgive.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. You know, and as I'm looking at this, of course, I can't help it. While you're talking, I'm reading over the text and thinking about a few more things here. In verse 8, now I'm in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it starts out saying, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. You know, if you're a regular reader of Scripture, you'll see that a constant command of the Scripture is to love one another. And Jesus even said the greatest of all commandments is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And then secondly, he didn't stop there. When someone asked him, what's the greatest commandment? He could have just said, oh, love God. But you know what? If you're going to love God, that love needs to spill over into your relationships. And so Jesus said, let me give you a second, because giving you the first is important, but that first really isn't complete unless you have a second. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, then you're going to be obeying him and following his commands, and you're going to be loving your neighbor as yourself. And so here we hear it again in verse 8, above all things have fervent love one for another. And so first I want to point out that love is above all things. The command to love is above all things, greater than any other commandment that you could have. You know, yes, some people might say, above all things, don't miss church, or above all things, pay your tithe. You know, some churches might have an interesting perspective if you ask them, well, what's the most important thing? If I'm going to come to this church, or if I'm going to be part of this group, what's important here? Above all things, and they'll tell you. But I like God's priorities here, spoken or written through Peter, where he says, above all things, have fervent love for one another. And so love is always the top priority. Now, something else I couldn't help but to look at, because, you know, with Bible software now, you could just put your cursor over a word, you could find out what the Greek is. That word fervent, for fervent love, is without ceasing. Don't stop, don't wane in your love for one another. And I think this especially can apply to marriage, but in every relationship, it's really easy to love someone at first. It's really easy just, you know, to feel good about people and to love them until they step on your toes or until they offend you. Linda and I always say this about, you know, people in church, and, you know, we love people. I've always joked that being a pastor of a church is like being in a committed relationship where you've vowed never to leave nor forsake, but they could leave for whatever reason they want, whenever they want. You know, it's just kind of a weird thing. And many times we get our hearts broken. Many times, you know, we really love someone and we just really think they're great and it's good to have them a part of our church family. And then you blink and they're gone, you know. But this fervent love means without ceasing. Oh, I know what I was going to say. The thing that we notice and that we always talk about before one another is that you never really know what somebody is made of until you offend them. You never really know if somebody really loves you until you say something that they don't agree with, you step on their toes, you do something they think you shouldn't, and then the claws come out. Then you find out what they're made of. And I think this, above all things, have fervent love for one another. We're going to apply it to marriage in a second, so get ready. But listen, in all our relationships, and particularly in this church plant that we've been working on for the last 7+ years, is that we've learned that no matter what, we need to have an undying, never-ending love and keep loving people, whether they stay, whether they go, whether they offend you. But I tell you what, we've noticed that's not always true in reciprocation. You know, it's not always true that people oftentimes, all you have to do is teach something that they, oh, I don't agree with that. And now you're on their bad list, you know. So anyway, this fervent love brings out a lot of stuff in my head as we talk about this. Also, the love one another. Okay, I said we're going to talk about this in marriage. Fervent love. Remember, I told you, look it up in the Greek, and it actually means without ceasing. It's really easy to love your spouse until they offend you. It's really easy to love your husband, love your wife, until they do something either displeasing or really, let's say, offensive. Maybe there is something that they've done that they've sinned against you. And I understand there's some limits to things. You know, I think that even Jesus said that that you're supposed to never divorce except for marital unfaithfulness, adultery. I think there are things where you're given the green light that you don't have to stay in this relationship anymore. I agree there are limits to every relationship. But I think for the most part, We should hold the line of fervent love. We should decide, I'm going to love you. Isn't that what your vows said? For better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, and forsaking all others to keep myself to you alone as long as we both shall live. Isn't that what the scriptures, or actually it's funny, the vows don't necessarily come from any one verse in the scriptures, but I've used those vows over the years that I know what they say. And I think that's because God's desire for us is that we have a fervent, undying, never-ending love, and that we're going to be in there through thick and through thin, for better or for worse. Now, many times it is for worse. Many times there's things in your relationship where things go bad, and you know what? This isn't the guy I married, or this isn't the guy I thought he was, or vice versa, the gal. And I really believe, we're going to go back to our original statement, is that any marriage can work when you have two people who are willing to do the right thing. What happens when one of them do the wrong thing? Well, there's not an easy pat answer. That's not an easy bumper sticker answer, because it all depends. There are times, I really believe, and I hate divorce. God hates divorce. But I think there's times where you say no more. I'm not going to live with that. Okay. So anyway, just want to make sure that's clear. But above all things, have fervent love for one another is God's standard for us in our relationships. It's God's standard for us in our marriage. And of course, everything has exceptions to it. And we're not going to cover all that right now. Matter of fact, one of the things I told you we might want to do is I've written a paper years ago about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And I really haven't even talked it through with Linda yet, though I've mentioned it, that maybe after we finish this, if we want to continue on the marriage topic, we'll talk about what marriage is, what it isn't, what the causes for divorce are, what are there times when you shouldn't remarry. I don't want to get all legalistic, but you know, I wrote that paper. Maybe we should take it out and update it, read through it. And
just update it first, because we go through things sometimes and it's like, I don't know. What was I thinking with that,
that's
right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Okay, the other statement that stands out to me in verse 8 of 1 Peter 4, after it says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, and it says, love will cover a multitude of sins. What does that mean? What does it mean, love will cover a multitude of sins? Actually, I'm looking up right now. The Greek word for cover can also mean hide, meaning that, you know what? Not that you sweep everything under the rug, but you don't look to expose the sins of someone you love. If you love someone, you're not going to take their sins and use them against them. You're not going to always be accusatory and looking to condemn, looking to attack. Love will cover, will hide, will say, will look, maybe even overlook, you know? I mean, come on. I have known parents who loved their kids so much, they can't see what brats they are. You know, I mean, I remember when I was a high school pastor, and we'd go away for a retreat with the high school kids, and some of these kids were naughty. I mean, they did things that the parents would be shocked. And I called the parents and said, I just want you to know what happened over this weekend. We're back now. But, you know, your daughter did such and such. And one of the first things I'd always hear is, not my girl, not my little Susie or whatever her name might be, not my Johnny, because parents believe the best in their kids, you know,
and
I think we should. I do understand we should. When you love someone, you cover a multitude of sins. You're not always looking to condemn them and beat them and expose the worst side of them. You're always believing the best in them. So I believe that's true. Now, out of curiosity, I thought, now, haven't I heard this somewhere before? And I did a little search. Love covers a multitude of sins. And it actually comes from a proverb. In Proverbs 10:12, the proverb says, hate stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. And so I think that's a good principle in your marriage, but in all your relationships, that you're not always looking to expose your brother or your spouse. You're not always looking to, oh, wait till I tell everybody what they did. Oh, I found out about you. You know, that's gossip, that's slander, and that's not love. Love will seek to protect You know, I know there's been times and it's kind of shocked people. When I used to work in the trade, I'd know something about somebody and the guys were talking and I knew something that could really get this person in trouble or could really make them look bad. And as they're talking about that topic, I happen to make eye contact with my coworker and I just smile and they're kind of like, you're not going to say it, are you? No. You know what? Love covers a multitude of sins. And I would say, you know, that also brings up something else, that when you're in a relationship of love in your marriage, you don't expose the sins or the flaws or the faults of your spouse to others. I've told you before, my wife and I made an agreement years ago early in our marriage that I will never use her as the brunt of my joke, because I just grew up in a family that we're always joking, and it was five boys, okay? And we're just making fun of each other and joking, and I learned not to use Linda as the brunt of my jokes. But also, it's important to realize you don't use your spouse when you have the opportunity to expose a flaw, a weakness, or an embarrassing thing about your spouse. Don't do it. You protect them. They need to know that you're safe to be around, especially the women need to feel that about the men. Okay, guys, it's like, oh, yeah, it's true, I did that, you know. Guys are a little bit rougher like that. But I think for the most part, a really admirable quality of a husband is that your wife feels safe around you. And she knows you're not looking for trouble, you're not looking to embarrass her, you're not looking to expose her. Again, Proverbs 10:12, hate stirs up strife, but love covers a multitude of sins. You might want to figure out which side of the fence you're on with that one. Are you always looking to stir up trouble? I know sometimes that's just mischievous, okay? But for the most part, you stir up strife, you're doing harm to somebody. You're going to embarrass or get someone in trouble. But if you love them, you're going to cover the sin. Now, one more thing I wanted to bring up about this, because I did that search, is that there's another place where the same phrase is used in a little bit different context. It's James chapter 5, verse 20, where James says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, there's an interesting thought. How do you cover a multitude of sins? Well, you rescue somebody from sin itself. And rather than just tell everybody or to expose their sin, if you know, whether it's your spouse or whether it's a brother or sister in Christ, it says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's love. See, that's what love looks like. Well, you're not looking to, wait till everyone finds out what you're made of. You know, that usually springs out of pride that you think you're all that, and you want to make yourself look good compared to somebody else. And so you're looking for the opportunity to make that other person look bad. Catch that in yourself before it comes out. When you see that come out in your life, stop it right then and there. Because if you see somebody in a sin, you don't go tell everybody about it. You go to them and you try to turn it around and try to save them. I've got something more to say, but I think Linda might have something to add to this.
Well, one thing that hits me with this too is we can't forget, we have been told over and over that we are to love one another as Christ loved us. That fervent love that we're asked to love each other with is Christ's love. And that love that covers a multitude of sins, Christ's love covered the multitude of sins with his sacrifice on the cross.
Right.
So, okay.
Right.
Take it back, because we have like 30 seconds.
Okay, well, there's just, I'm looking ahead in this text, and I don't want to read it all, but there's one in verse 12 I want to jump to that says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, the thing that jumps out to me here, I wanted to jump to this verse and skip some stuff in between, is because don't be surprised if life is tough. Don't be surprised, particularly in your marriage. Don't be surprised if there's a fiery trial that comes up every now and then. It will, I promise you. You know, that's why we do include it in the vows, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, because you will get sick. You will have times of financial stress. You will have times of worse, you know? And so that's why the vows are written like that. And so what Peter says this, don't think it's strange. Folks, life is rough. Make the best of it and continue to in fervent love of the brethren and particularly your spouse in spite of the roughness of your life. Now, folks, this is Friday. I hear the music. Our time is up. But listen, go to church this weekend. And if you're looking for a good church, you live in the area, come join us at Calvary Chapel Eagle. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Lord bless you, and thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.